Jesus stood among them and said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe."
And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." I'm Kara Cardell.
And I'm Fred Schellebarger. And you're listening to My Lord and My God, Encountering Christ in the Eucharist.
For those that follow along to our original podcast, it's called Draw Near, original podcast. From 3 years ago. It's called Draw Near. And if you don't follow along, you can find it on any podcast platform. But the place that we got the words draw near from are a very special scripture passage to us. And if you want to hear the whole story, there's episode one, I think, is the trailer. Mm-hmm. And it talks about the whole story of where the words draw near come from and kind of what our goal is. But for this show, which is My Lord and My God, obviously, if you're listening to it, you know what the show is. It's all about the Eucharist. So what does that particular scripture passage have to do with the Eucharist? So we pulled the words draw near from the passage in the Gospel of Luke of the road to Emmaus. And I have to say, it's honestly one of my favorite scripture passages. I feel like there's a lot of lessons that we can pull from this passage, whether it's on our own personal relationship with Jesus, whether it's like formation, catechesis, evangelization, the Mass. I'm sure there's many more. But we pulled it to get the name draw near. We pulled it in terms of our relationship with the Lord and also our relationship with each other. That's kind of what we always say.
Draw near to Christ and to one another.
Exactly. So usually when you hear the words draw near, it's associated to James. Draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Mm-hmm. But it was in reading Emmaus that it was like Jesus took the initiative. It says, and Jesus himself drew near to them. And that was really beautiful to us. And that kind of spoke like he always is taking that initiative to draw close to us in our entire life, in the mundane, in the mission, whatever it is. He's taking that initiative to always draw near to us in everyday life. So we named our podcast after this passage, but we're also going to pull in this passage into this podcast because it has a lot to teach about the Mass. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited. I think we have to actually read the passage in its entirety.
Yeah, we do. It comes from Luke 24:13-35. Now that very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described. But him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophet spoke. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him and all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that, while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us, while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them, who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised, and he has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
So what stands out to you in regards to the Eucharist about that passage, Fred?
Well, I think the words that immediately stood out, and it probably showed in how I read it, but in verse 30, it says, "And it happened that while he was with them at table, he broke bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them."
Yeah.
Like that's the Last Supper. That's also 1 Corinthians 10.
It's also feeding of the 5,000.
Yeah, that's exactly those exact words and that exact structure and that exact phrase mm-hmm. is what we hear at Mass, every single Mass.
Yeah. There are kind of two things that I want to talk about in relation to the Mass. The first one is kind of going to probably be spicy, Kara, for a second.
Oh, nice.
The first one, I think, is, so if you go back and you listen to the second and the third episode of My Lord and My God, it's with Tim Glemkowski, who is a part of the team for the National Eucharistic Revival. And I remember him talking about how it's not trying to focus on that Pew study that everybody knows. Only a third of Catholics believe in the true presence, which means two-thirds of Catholics do not believe in the real presence of Jesus. But he was saying that the national efforts are not necessarily like honing in on those things. And I don't think our podcast has either. That has not been the focus. It's really been trying to bring people to a deeper encounter with Christ in the Eucharist and also teach the truth of the real presence. Mm-hmm. But the reality is still the same, that there are many people receiving Jesus in the Eucharist or going to Mass or nominal Catholics, Catholic in name, that do not believe Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. And so I love in this passage that it says, Jesus opened up the scriptures for them and he taught them all the things concerning himself. But he did this without saying, "I am Jesus. Here's all the things concerning myself." He was just teaching them about the things concerning Jesus because they still didn't recognize him. And then it wasn't until he breaks bread with them that it says, and he was revealed to them and they recognized him. And then the second they recognized him, he vanishes, right? Mm-hmm. But it's in the breaking of the bread that they are able to see that it is Jesus in front of them. And I guess here's the spicy bit. We have Jesus in front of us every single time we go to Mass. Mm-hmm. And yet two-thirds of people do not recognize it's Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I guess here's what I take from this passage is if they open up the scriptures, they still don't recognize him. But in the breaking of the bread, they do recognize him. Why is it that in the breaking of the bread, we do not recognize him? And I think it's because we're not opening the scriptures.
Yeah.
And I think the end of this passage says it as much. Were our hearts not burning within us when he was revealing all these things from the scriptures?
Yeah.
It's like that burning of the heart, that longing of the heart is what then disposes them to recognize it's Jesus in the breaking of the bread.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, like, you know, we always hear people ask, like, you know, well, how do I keep my kids from leaving the faith? Or how do I bring my kids back to the faith? And I'm on a soapbox for a second. I'm not going to get on a high horse. I am not perfect. My kids are young. It's only going to be by the grace of God that they don't leave the church. I'm doing the best that I can, but I'm not doing, I'm sure, all that I can. And so it's only by the grace of God.
We can never do all that we can.
Yeah.
Just human weakness.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get by. Like, let's be honest.
Right.
I think parenthood is like the greatest act of surrender that you can have because mm-hmm. you're sending people out that you have raised and hope that they do well in the world and hope that they like take the things that you have raised them to. But my oldest is 5. Okay. So my kids are still very young and I still have them in the home to form them. So only time will tell. And hopefully by God's grace, that time shows that they do want to stay in the faith. And so by no means am I like casting judgment on this comment if your kids have like left the faith or something like that. But I think there is a great disparity in homes, in the church, in formation, in personal prayer life of not going to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about like, why are people either leaving the faith? Why are people not living as disciples? Why do people not recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread? I think it's because our hearts are not burning within us from opening up the scriptures.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you, Kara. Like as a convert to the Catholic faith from a Protestant world, that was very good at plucking Catholics out of the church. Mm-hmm. And if you'd ask them why they left the Catholic Church, they would almost always point to the scriptures.
Yeah.
And they would say things like, I wasn't being fed. Now, what they were talking about is meaningful relationships with one another, rooted in scripture. They're being fed the word of God. And so they didn't have the faith to believe. Their eyes couldn't be opened because they hadn't been revealed to them in scripture. And to be honest with you, like coming from that world, what made me Catholic, what made me come into the Catholic Church was also the scriptures.
Yeah.
Like my conversion largely was dependent on the scriptures. So you encounter the Lord in the scriptures, like you get fed, but ultimately it'll lead you right back to the Catholic Church if you're confident about it. But we tend to be very dismissive of that. Like we were just talking about a post from an influencer on social media, like kind of
a Catholic big name. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like in a very disparaging way. Like
we weren't talking about them in a disparaging way.
But this post was, and it's like,
this post was like about Protestant faiths.
Yeah. Like we've got Christ on the cross. They've got rock bands and coffee and all that. And it's like, that's actually not a very fair assessment. And it's actually not very accurate to experience. Like if you would ask, and I know because that was the world I came from, like, why did you leave the Catholic faith? 9 times out of 10, because I wasn't being fed.
Right.
And that's exactly what you're talking about is what they're talking about.
I like that you say in the scriptures we are fed, because it's not just in the breaking of the bread where we are physically being fed.
Right.
But in the scriptures is where our minds and our hearts are being fed. I honestly feel like even up until the point of like my senior year of college, where I would have said, and people on the outside probably would have said, like, yeah, she's living as a disciple. Mm-hmm. I would have been easy to pull away from the faith if somebody could have proven to me in the scriptures why the Catholic faith was wrong.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I had like, before this, I had countless times where people were like, well, what does this mean? Well, what does this mean? And I wanted to go figure out what it meant. So I did. But if they would have like fought back and like shown me in scripture why I was wrong, I think it would have been easy, because what pulls my heart is truth.
Right.
And what pulled at my heart and made me like undoubtedly, unshakably stay in the faith was realizing everything we believe is in scripture.
Mm.
And I feel like if we all were forming people in scripture, we're learning and forming our own hearts in scripture, and we like got as excited about all of the other things, like the new show we watched or the new thing we just heard, like all these other things we're excited about.
Ahsoka episode 5.
And there you go.
Space whales. I don't know. Crazy.
if we are so excited about what our heart longs for, which is to be fed by the Lord, then we would go share it. We would be those disciples that we are called to. We would be disposed to recognize Christ in the Eucharist.
Yeah.
It's the answer to all.
It is. Like, and for me, like, I couldn't find the answers I was looking for. And like my Protestant tradition couldn't explain some of those scripture passages. So it wasn't until I discovered the church fathers that, oh, wait. Oh, and he was a disciple of the Apostle John. He knows the answer better. Oh, he's talking about the Eucharist.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, now this makes sense. And then, you know, from there I discover St. Justin Martyr, who writes about the liturgy. And I'm sure you're probably going to talk about this, so I hope I'm not getting ahead of you. But he talks about the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist.
Yeah.
And, like, that blew my mind. And the very first time I attended a Mass, a Catholic Mass, in a way that I was actually paying attention.
Yeah.
It, like, I was just astounded at how exactly the same it was.
Yeah.
But also how beautiful it was. Like, to see about the year 150, the Mass looked the way it does today.
Right.
And you see that same form in the words Luke used. He took the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples. And, you know, it's that beautiful tradition we have as Catholics. We recognize this is what Christ founded.
Yeah.
This is what he instituted. This is how it's supposed to be. And my eyes were opened.
Yeah.
And I saw Jesus. That's who is there. Like, do you remember when Daniel was really little and Clara was even younger than she is now? And he'd say to Clara, Daniel's my son. For those of you who don't know, Clara is Kara's daughter. And that nutcracker, that Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
And that was that for me, like that nutcracker, that Jesus.
Yeah.
Like I had that moment.
Yeah.
But it was in seeing that liturgy, the liturgy of the Eucharist. And I love how you pointed out that the word is how we're fed, mm-hmm. because the Catholic Church actually teaches that too in Dei Verbum.
You pointed that out.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Dei Verbum talks about how, like in the Mass, the Church is very careful that just like in the proclamation of the word, just like in the Eucharist, we take care that not one crumb would fall to the floor. Mm-hmm. So too do we with the word of God. We treat it with that reverence and care because it nourishes us.
But do we?
Well, we're supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never heard that explained similar to the Eucharist, because I know that's the case for the Eucharist. But man, as I see like eyes glaze over during the liturgy of the word, right. then it begs the question, do we?
Well, I think we do that too, like how you say we don't. What was the word that they used about this? Going through the scriptures. He opened the scriptures to like we don't allow the scriptures to be open to us. Like how many times do we come to Mass late? We mm-hmm. come during the gospel reading.
Yeah.
But when it comes time to receive,
we go up and receive. Mm-hmm.
I come in during toward the end of Father's homily, but I'll be in that line to receive the Eucharist. Right. Like, at what point have you actually participated?
I'm just kind of having this thought now, but I'll talk it out as we go. Maybe it's also because the first thing that happens in this passage hasn't happened for so many, which is Jesus drew near to them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. It is when the breaking of the bread and in the opening of scriptures, mm-hmm. we're just like, well, there's not that disposition. There's not that interest because Jesus hasn't drawn near. Or I shouldn't say that. Jesus has drawn near. We haven't received him.
Yeah.
I've been open to it.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing that happens there. They don't know who he is. They don't know who's walking beside them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how it is in our daily life. Like Jesus is walking right beside us mm-hmm. and we don't recognize him.
Yeah.
But we also don't recognize him because like he's trying to talk to us. He's trying to ask us questions and he already knows the answers. Mm-hmm. Like when you read this, it's hard not to be like,
what's happened in Jerusalem?
What happened in Jerusalem? Like,
are you the one person who has no clue?
Yeah, like Cleopas, like I picture him as just like, what an idiot. Who is this guy? Like, how does he not know this?
But he had to ask that for them to really welcome him in. Because it's kind of like, this is where we aren't going to go, but it gets into like kind of a process of evangelization.
Right.
He's showing interest in their life and what they're struggling with mm-hmm. to build initial trust with them.
Exactly.
Like, which is what we do in the process of evangelization. So like, he has to ask those questions right. because he wants to show like, I care about what's hurting you yeah. right now.
I think it shows too that like Christ is always asking us, like he wants to talk to us about the story of our lives. Mm-hmm. He cares about the story of our lives. He cares about what is bothering us.
Yeah.
He already knows the answer.
Yeah.
He
probably knows the answer better than we know the answer.
Yes, he does. But he still asks us the question yeah. and he wants us to tell him. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to present our needs to the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. He knows what those are, but he still asks, and that's because he cares for us. He draws near to us, just like you said. And we're supposed to draw near to him.
Right.
But in that process, scriptures can be opened. We encounter him. We see him as he is.
When you were saying that the parts of the Mass of the Liturgy of the Word and Liturgy of the Eucharist are what kind of stood out to you in the early church as well. So that's the second thing that I want to draw from this, because it's not just in the words that Jesus spoke. It's in the entire passage mm-hmm. is the order of the Mass.
Right.
And so like when people, this kind of goes back to like, if somebody could have shown me how everything I believed about the Catholic Church was wrong through scripture, mm-hmm. then maybe I would have fallen away. But now it's like, no, everything we believe is in scripture, even the Mass,
right.
even the order of the Mass,
right.
which is so beautiful. So I'm going to nerd out here for a second.
That's awesome. Take it away, Karen.
Okay. So if you're not familiar, which I wasn't familiar of the like actual words of it, so I had to look up the actual words, but there are five parts of the Mass. It's introductory rite, which is like the greeting, the welcome, the liturgy of the word, the liturgy of the Eucharist, the communion rite, and then the concluding rite. So some of these may seem like a stretch, but the introductory rite is this: Jesus drew near. He's mm-hmm. entering into their life. So when we enter into Mass, even just entering into the building itself, we're drawing near to the Lord, mm-hmm. just like they did in this passage. The liturgy of the word is opening up the scriptures. The liturgy of the Eucharist is the prayers of consecration. He took
bread,
blessed it. And then the communion rite is gave it.
Right.
So they ate it. They participated in this communal act together in the word or in the bread. And the last one is the concluding rite. Now, in the Emmaus passage, they broke the bread. They saw it was Jesus, and then Jesus vanishes. But then what happens? They go back to Jerusalem and they tell everyone about what just happened. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's exactly what. Yeah.
Yeah. When they say, go glorifying the Lord by your life. And we're all like, thanks be to God. It's over.
Yeah.
That's not what thanks be to God means. Yeah. It means, yes, I will do that. I will go glorify the Lord by my life. I will tell everyone what just happened. Amen. So you see the order of the Mass in the road to Emmaus, which I think is so, so beautiful. It points like where our faith can be found.
I love that you point out like the go, therefore, proclaim the gospel by your life.
Yeah. Great commission.
Yeah, I probably messed up those words, but that's basically what they say. That's exactly what they do. And I think it's fascinating. They immediately leave to go proclaim the gospel, which is what they're doing.
Yeah.
But just a few verses before that, it's getting dark. It's the day is far spent. Stay with us. Like, it's looking dark outside. It's not looking good to be outside.
Yeah.
But they encounter Christ, and what do? Despite what the world looks like, despite it being dark, dangerous, whatever you want to call it, I'm sure a 7-mile journey back to Jerusalem at night was probably not safe. But they do it anyway. They like, it makes it clear, like, it's immediate. They go, they leave to proclaim the gospel to everyone else.
That's such a lesson for us today, too. Like, the world is kind of a scary world to proclaim Jesus in
right
now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily the darkness in terms of light. Like, it's getting towards nighttime, like it was for them. But theirs was like, we're going out in the middle of the night when it's going to be dangerous and go back to Jerusalem. Ours is, we're going out in the middle of a whole lot of darkness and evil.
Right.
And there's dangers that we might come across, but we're still supposed to go out with such zeal because we believe in what we have seen and we believe in what we have heard.
Yeah, what we have seen, what we've heard, what we've
read, what we've touched, experienced.
What
we've
experienced with our own lives.
Yeah.
Like, but aren't we the light of the world? Like, the darker the world gets, the brighter our light shines. Isn't that kind of our thing, Kara?
That's kind of our thing, yeah.
Yeah. But then you see that happening here. Like, they go, they proclaim the gospel. So back to where you started about, like, why only a third of people believe in the real presence. I think it goes back to that thing too. There's also missing. So I think it's the problem is threefold.
It's like a circle.
It is. It's like probably a circle is a better analogy, but yeah, it is kind of like one thing relates to another. Like, because we haven't had the scriptures open to us, because we haven't drew near, we can't go and proclaim. Like,
but because we're not going and proclaiming, people aren't drawing near to Christ.
Right,
so they're not, they don't care about scripture.
And so all these things are related. And we have a habit of, like, those of us that are faithful Catholics or see ourselves as faithful Catholics, we can tend to think that we just throw information and resources at people and somehow that's supposed to make a difference.
Right.
But go back to the words you said about how Mass ends. Go and proclaim the gospel by your life, by your life. Like, the world will know you're my disciples. How?
By your
love for one another, by your love for me, by your love for one another. Like, it is, I'm going to throw that into that circle too, because all those things are related.
Right. This is maybe just then a question of, didn't intend for this to be like the reflection of this whole thing, but like, are you a witness to God? I feel like there are so many people, and this has actually been kind of like a point of struggle in my heart right now. There are so many people who are like publicly Catholic and publicly disciples, but are they witnesses?
Right.
And that kind of goes back even to that post that we saw. It's like, is this really witnessing the love that we want the church to have?
Right.
So ask yourself, like, even if you're not to a place where you can be a witness, ask yourself, how can I grow in my receptivity of Jesus drawing near to my life, to be more receptive, to see him in the breaking of the bread? And then when we have that call, this will be the call for the episode. It's the same call at the end of the Mass. When we have the call to go out and be witnesses, to glorify God by the way that we choose to live our life, are we doing that? Or is it, I checked my box for my 1 hour a week and now I can go live my life? Or do you want to live your life for Christ?